Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room
with legendary Alabama basketball head coach
Wim Sanderson
and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach
Barry Sanderson,
a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience,
breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics
with the insight only two coaches can bring.
From the hardwood
to the gridiron,
from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium.
If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports,
you'll hear it here first.
With analysis, opinion,
and straight talk that cuts through the noise.
Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m.
on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
This is where champions get their day started.
This is Inside the Locker Room
with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome into Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in with us this morning. Download the app. We talk about it every morning. Get the Tide 100.9 app. You can send us an app message throughout the show. You also can take us with you anywhere you go. So get that Tide 100.9 app on your smartphone. If you want to email us, do that at wimpandberry@yahoo.com. Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They make the 7 o'clock hour possible. You want to build the 5-star backyard, and Yellowwood is your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer closest to you. And if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Chase. How are you this morning? Good morning, Dad. You guys doing all right?
Doing okay. After Brian Kelly was fired yesterday or whenever, Joe Sloan, the offensive coordinator, was also let go. Those two, we'll have somebody on from LSU today to talk about it in the second hour. The rumor is, and I'll give that early, is that Kelvin Shepherd, the Detroit Lions defensive coordinator, is in line to be the head coach for the rest of the season. That's what I hear. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll get that information as soon as we can. We already mentioned that Freddie Freeman hit the home run in 18 innings to win the game for the Dodgers. Pretty big mess at LSU. The money is still up in arms over what they're going to do there. We have writers who like to pick the teams that are going to be in the Final 18. Most everybody picks A&M, Georgia, Alabama, and Ole Miss. And about half the writers, more than half of them, have also selected Vanderbilt. We'll just see how that turns out. Alabama's got, of course, LSU and Oklahoma that already beat. So we'll see there. The Chiefs won last night. I only say that because Mahomes, the quarterback for the Chiefs, what a selection that was. Whoever decided that Kansas City needed to take him needs to get a raise for the rest of their life, because he is unbelievably no-nonsense, pretty good player, and wins a lot of games. I'm not going to go through all the lines because Barrett have one different than I will start with. One of the lines that surprised me, of course, I can't hit anything. Anyway, I'm 4-7. As Auburn is 10.5-point favorite over Kentucky, which maybe is a little bit of a surprise to me. Maybe I'm wrong on that as usual. But one I saw was 10.5, which was a little bit of a surprise. Florida with a new coach coming in, offensive guy, I think. Oh, I meant not new coach coming in. The Gonzalez guy coaching them gets 7.5 points against Georgia. So that's one of the big games there. And anyway, we'll talk about the lines as we go through, because they change this Tuesday, and they'll change from time to time. That's really about all. We have a good guest for you today, Kevin Beon. And then I went back out and got somebody from LSU just in case something happened today that we need to know, we didn't know about. He didn't know much himself when he was on the last time. So Barry and I welcome your calls, and if we can answer any questions for you, we'll try to do so.
Yeah, I thought the interesting thing, Auburn went to Ashton Daniels. I think he will probably play this week. So he plays against Vanderbilt. Then you have Mercer, and then you have Alabama. And we got Kentucky, obviously, this week. So you got Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Alabama. So you could actually play him in those three games, but not play him in the Mercer game, and he could still redshirt. That would only be four games there. So if you think maybe he's quarterback of the future, you want to save a year, I don't know that I would burn a year to play him in the Mercer game. I don't know if the bowl game counts towards your four or not. So that'll be something for this Auburn staff to look at. You play him against Kentucky, Vandy, and hold him against Mercer, and then play him against Alabama, or do you just play him out and play him and use a whole year of eligibility when you got the four?
Well, I'll probably hold him out, like you say, but I'll probably hold him out if I can win that game with Alabama. I certainly don't need to lose that one because of my job. But I'll try to look and see if I can hold him out. It's just interesting to me to see the schools that try to select a quarterback for the next year. And Auburn decides that they're going to select the kid they selected. He's not been good. And, other people have gotten quarterbacks a little bit better. Arkansas at one time got Green guy. Anyway, two or three of them have been able to get quarterbacks for better. The evaluation of quarterbacks goes on and on and on. Not only through the NFL, but through the ability. You got to get somebody. You got to have somebody that can play. You got to have a quarterback. And this quarterback, and I know the quarterback, if Oklahoma fell on his face, is disappointed in himself. And it's a tough time. So we'll see what happens. I would think that if they can win that game, they would try to hold him out, because I don't know what quarterbacks you can get, what the kind of money situation is. But it's we're in a money scheme now, and you're sitting there with LSU trying to reduce the $56 million, trying to fight that through the courts or through their lawyers to reduce it to 25 or something, and at the same time trying to get quarterbacks to come in there and play for them. So it's
how you gonna reduce it?
I don't know what he can do. They're fighting it. It doesn't say they. Contract doesn't say exactly what I understand, exactly what people think it does. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Alabama's, and certainly won't give Alabama a lot of credit, but they've been very fortunate to win the close games. And that's good. That's great. Lucky, fortunate enough that ball fumbled out South Carolina, give them a chance to win. And when they got that chance, they scored the touchdown and 2-point conversion. So, you give them credit for that. So, you lose those little close games like that, you're on the line to be 88 and out the gate. And, of course, the LSU thing with A&M was not a close one. A&M just blew everybody out. And if everybody goes around and tries to pick who's going to win this or who's going to win that, nobody in the media picked A&M to where they are today, undefeated. So, we welcome your calls.
Yeah. All right, so they're telling me, Michael, postseason games, including bowl games, conference championship games, which Auburn not be in that, college football playoff contests, are exempt from the four-game limit for redshirting players. So there you go. So they could play, hold him in the Mercer game. You just play him in those three games, and boom, he's got a redshirt. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Super Joe?
Good morning.
Super Joe, you there? Chase, is he there or is he gone?
I hear somebody in the background.
Yeah, Super Joe must be. All right, call us back, Super Joe. All right, we'll take the break here. We got Philip Hold. We'll get to him when we get back from break. Also, everybody's ranting and raving about these buyouts and how ridiculous they are. Well, guess what? Whoever Florida hires, whoever LSU hires, they're going to require a big buyout. That's the price of doing business now. You're not going to get somebody and this got a good job, and you're going to have to buy out the guy you go get. So not only do you pay the 50-something million, if you go get Lane Kiffin or whoever you get, you got to buy his contract out. You got to buy the assistants out. So that's a lot of money that is going out the door there for coaches. But it's not going to change. So people say, oh, I wish I could. I'd love to get fired the way you got to be good enough to get that job, to have that $54 million job in order to get fired to get it. So crying about it ain't going to change it. Kalen DeBoer has a big buyout. If you're going to get a good coach, you're going to pay a big buyout. You listen to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
From the Town Square Media Newsroom, I'm Mary Kay. Alabama claimed a victory in Columbia, South Carolina, overcoming a challenging atmosphere to defeat the Gamecocks. While the win may not have been the Crimson Tide's most glamorous win of the season, it was enough to hold on to their number four spot in the AP Top 25 poll. Elected officials and law enforcement leaders cut the ribbon on a new modernized police athletic league gym and basketball courts in West Tuscaloosa, expanding recreational opportunities for youth in the area. PAL serves hundreds of children each year in both educational and athletic programs.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Moving with a purpose on these Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. Nothing more than intersection stop and go. And that's Lurleen Wallace and McFarland. You're doing A-OK. 43 southbound moving on to McFarland. That's starting to gain a little more volume. But again, that's just stoplight.
How else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu. Available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky mostly cloudy today, just a small chance of a shower, the high 64. Cloudy tonight with rain moving in, the low 55. Tomorrow a good chance of rain, especially during the morning hours. Otherwise cloudy and cool, the high 58. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
To Inside Locker, be interested to talk to Ron Higgins in the second hour. There's rumors out there that they're going to reduce Brian Kelly's contract by $30 million over morality clause. I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah, so I guess they think they got him on something. They'll probably talk to his attorney and say, look, we won't fight him on it. We can really pay him zero. We'll give him 20-something million. And or if he doesn't take it, we're going to fight him and pay him try to pay him nothing. I don't know. But anyway, all right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Hey, good morning guys. Good morning, Coach Sampson. I hope y'all are good. I thought the basketball team looked pretty good the other day. Furman's a good team, and they were excited in that gym. It was like a regular season game, and you know, we got down 9-0, and it looked like, oh, here we go again, you know, no defense. And but I thought Alabama had a pretty strong outing, in my opinion. What'd y'all think?
I think, yeah, they had, of course, a few more turnovers than wanted to. I think the three kids, the guards, are the ones that really scored the points. I think a question for Alabama now is how good they'll be inside. I think that's the question. I think the offensive boards getting putbacks on missed threes and so forth is the real key for them. Whitesaw and the kid from Auburn and Phelan, those three guys are the big three scorers. So if the inside play gets better, and I'm sure it will, Alabama's going to be good again. Yes.
Right. I thought Noah Williamson looked pretty good the other day. He stood his ground. He got in there, and I didn't see a huge separation between him and Cheryl. Did you, Barry and Lynn?
Cheryl's just not.
Cheryl's just out of sorts a little bit for me. I may be wrong on it. He's just a little outsourced for me.
I mean, Cheryl goes 4 or 5 from the floor, but he's not a rim protector. I tell you, I watched Arkansas last night. They played Memphis over in Memphis. Arkansas looks to be much better. I'm just afraid, Alabama, you keep losing Diabate. You lose that other kid to Oklahoma. You keep losing your best players. Eventually, this thing is not going to stay as high as it is. I think they may take a little bit of a dip this year. I think some of these SEC teams are really good. They just keep losing these guys that are really going to be good. I think Diabate was kind of the heart and soul of those guys. So I think that's a big one. I think they do have some good guards. Holloway, he had a big first half. He didn't do much in the second. Phylon is really good. He got 16, but I think they're going to miss. And the Reed is the kid, right, that went to Oklahoma. Diabate, now, he had those kids with the experience that they have after 1 year. But these new guys, when they get in this league, we'll see how they do. The Bowl kid, he's good. But I wasn't just blown away by him. I've heard a lot of good things about him. Maybe he'll surprise me a little bit more during the year.
Yeah, he's kind of a flashy type. You know, he's more offensive minded than he is mixing it up under the goal, in my opinion. You know, he loves a 10-foot long jump to dunk the basketball. But you know, I didn't see a whole lot. But I liked London Jemison quite a bit, and I like Davian Hannah. They play hard.
Yeah, they do. You know, Millett, they like him a lot. They talk about what a great shooter, Phylon and Holloway. And then if Reitzel gets back, then they are strong in the backcourt for sure. So right. We'll see how those post guys hold up on the road in the SEC.
Well, Monday night, they open it up Monday night, I think, and that'll be a tough game. If we're not any better on the inside and aren't tougher down and now, that'll be a tough game Monday night.
Yeah, and they're challenging themselves with this schedule. I'm trying to pull it up here. I think the second game they got St. John's, right, in Madison Square Garden. So, Rick Pitino will be ready. And so we'll see. We'll see how that game goes.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you, Philip. These buyouts, you know, you hear everybody screaming. I don't think there's anything to do about the buyouts. I mean, you had to go buy Kalen DeBoer out of Washington. If you're gonna go get a good coach at the SEC level, they're gonna require you. They're not gonna let you bring him in and put a real small buyout on him, because whatever job they have now, unless it's just some guy that doesn't have a big time job, like maybe Billy Napier, you didn't have to give him that big of a buyout because he's dying to get from Louisiana to Florida. But how happy is LSU going to be if they go hire some mid-major coach? How happy is Florida going to be? So if they're going to go pluck somebody's coach now, I guess Franklin from Penn State, I guess you wouldn't have to give him such a huge buyout. But if you go get somebody who's got a good job, yeah, they're going to get that contract right on the front end because of what's happening to all these guys, to where if they get fired, they're going to be taken care of. And who could blame them?
Well, it's a tough deal. So they once they get mad, they're gonna fire and they carry on and go crazy. And then they start looking at the fine print and what they can do. And your football coach has a lawyer as well. Don't think he doesn't. And that lawyer's looking to get money for himself as for his head coach who just got fired. And it goes on and on and on. And that mad comes to a little bit more to disgust when you think it's $56 million, and then you know trying to reduce it by $25 million. You talk about $25 million trying to reduce it by that. It'd be interesting to see what happened.
Lane Kiffin was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and they were talking about all the money that he could command. He said, and I believe him. He said, "I've never taken a job because of money. I just not." Now, Jimmy Sexton tells me not to say that because it cost him money. But I'm not going to choose a job because of how much money. He's making enough money. So if you're going to give him 12, that's not going to make him go to Florida because they're going to give him $12 million. He's going to look at it and say, all right, what's my recruiting base? Who's the athletic director? Yeah, is he going to support me? Am I going to be able to run my own show, hire whoever I want? Brian Kelly, you know, he went in there Sunday, and I think he could have kept his job, and they were telling him who to fire, and he wanted to fire somebody else, and he and the athletic director both got egos, and they got in a fight. And so he ended up walking out fired. I don't know if that's the morality clause or what, but he wasn't going to go in there. He said, basically, if I'm going to coach the football team, and I'm going to keep the coaches. I'm supposed to, you're not going to tell me who to fire and who to keep. And so he ended up getting himself fired by, I guess, kind of fighting for himself and his staff. Do you blame him in that situation, or do you feel like, man, I'm in the hot seat, I better just do whatever they want?
Well, I think he knew who he wanted to fire, and the athletic director did. You know, the athletic director is going to fire everybody in America. He won't. You know, he's the one that hired him. They've got their baseball, you know, they've got the other sports, women's basketball in good shape, baseball in good shape, but men's basketball is terrible, and football is not good. So the money parts are pretty complicated. And boy, do you don't believe that the lawyers that represent LSU look at every little jot and tittle list of how to reduce that dial.
Yeah, that's why, you know, these guys are, of course, there's, other than morality clauses, there ain't no way to cheat anymore. Heck, you can pay these guys whatever, you can pay them whatever nowadays. So, anyway, 2 minute truck, we're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. But the professionals handle it. They'll take the stress away. Give them a call today for the free estimate. It's 205-247-5050. It's 2 minute truck movers who care. Kevin Skrobrinski is next.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Moving with a purpose on these Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. Nothing more than intersection stop and go. And that's Lurleen Wallace and McFarland. You're doing A-OK. 43 southbound moving on to McFarland. That's starting to gain a little more volume. But again, that's just stoplight delays. And you've got 2059 moving right along smoothly in between 359 and Joe Malisham. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Quality care. Visit WestAlabamaDental.com or call 205-345-8859. West Alabama Dental Center, bringing smiles back every day.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
You got to be free. Come together. Over me.
pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. We get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with BirminghamNewsAL.com. He has his own podcast. He'll talk about everything he's doing at the end of the segment. Joins us every Tuesday, Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. I'm good, fellas. Good morning.
Kevin, they always say you shouldn't make decisions when you're emotional. You should get away from it. I'm sure Saturday night in Baton Rouge, that was an emotional time for everybody, probably athletic director, the football coach at LSU. He comes in, they're going to meet in the morning, and they're going to tell him who he's going to fire, and he's going to tell them he wants to fire somebody else, and they get into an argument in there, and he ends up getting himself fired there. Who does Scott Woodward have to have permission from to be able to pull the trigger like that? Does he go into the room and say and call who and say, this isn't going well? Do we have the money to get rid of this guy? Do we have anything in a moral clause that can reduce this buyout? How does all that go down, Kevin?
Well, apparently badly in this case. And apparently he had to, there were discussions that went up to the governor in this case, which is quite unusual. And that's a good point you made about making emotional decisions. Because, look, nobody likes to be embarrassed, especially rich and powerful people. And what happened on Saturday night in Tiger Stadium was embarrassing to LSU. The way the stands were virtually empty by the end of the fourth quarter, the way that, except for the hardy few who stood around to chant "Fire Kelly" at the end of the game as he walked off the field, and it was almost like a military takeover by Texas A&M. Their fans, their band, their players—they're celebrating, they're singing their fight song. And just that image going out across the country was obviously embarrassing to a lot of people at LSU. You know, is that a reason to set the wheels in motion in overdrive the next day or that evening and into the next day to fire the coach? I don't know, it is strange how these decisions are made, and every case is different. You know, some schools are more calculating. They're more thoughtful about it. This seems like a very emotional decision.
Yeah, it's like you go 4 years ago, they make this hire, they're all buddy-buddy, you know, and then you go fast forward 4 years later and, you know, literally, I'm sure they got LSU lawyers going through his phone records, his expense reports, trying to find anything that can reduce. Like, they've turned on each other, and that's one thing, you know, I've always heard. Even when everybody's all happy, write the contract like you're going to be fired, because you're eventually going to fire you one day, and you want to make sure everybody's happy on the front end, but think about the back end on the contract. And it sounds like Brian Kelly's lawyers, I guess, did that. If this guy's owed $54 million, now if there's some morality clause, they can drop it $30 million. Everybody's fighting against each other now, Kevin. So it's not like it was 4 years ago leading up to that press conference.
Yeah, and sometimes, as you said, when it turns, it can turn fast.
Yeah.
But I will say, he didn't exactly endear himself to people. He's not exactly a warm and fuzzy personality. And you can say, well, Nick Saban's not exactly a warm and fuzzy personality, but Nick Saban has understood for a long time how to make friends with the right people. And I don't mean friends in an obsequious way, in a way that he bows down to people. He makes it clear, and he said this on College Game Day or one of the interviews he's done in recent weeks, that he walks in there and says, look, I'm not listening to the boosters. I'm not letting them tell me who to recruit. I'm not letting them tell me who to play. And if you hire me, you need to understand that. And so you do have to be firm, and you do have to, seek a measure of control that most programs are not willing to give their head coach. So he got to a place in his career where he was successful enough to be able to demand that and receive it, for example, when he got the Alabama job. But he also understood that there were people in the hierarchy that it was good to have a relationship with. And so he has that side of his personality. Doesn't always show in public, but he has it, and he uses it when necessary, whereas Brian Kelly doesn't seem to have that gene. Brian Kelly, you know, look, and the way he's screaming and his, you know, getting in players' faces, you know, cussing out his coaches on the headset. Now, that look, every coach does that to some degree, but Brian Kelly seems to, he seems to have perfected that art of just being an angry elf a great deal of the time. And it's interesting to see the reaction. Compare the reaction from LSU people to him being fired and former players and such to the reaction to Billy Napier being fired at Florida. Yeah, most Florida people agreed it was time. Billy wasn't getting the job done. But they, I think they liked him and respected him as a person. I don't think that's the case with a lot of LSU people and Brian Kelly.
But shouldn't the athletic director know what kind of personality this guy had before he hired him and know this was a possibility? I mean, you, at some point, these athletic directors got to get held accountable, Kevin. That's something he should have known, that if it doesn't go well, this guy, he'll talk down to people, that they won't like him. Doesn't he have to know that?
Well, that's part of doing your due diligence, right? Before you hire someone, is getting to know what kind of person they are. Not just what kind of coach they are, but what kind of person they are. What kind of leader they are. What kind of team player they are. Even though you are at the top of the food chain in a football hierarchy, still are part of a team. So that is your job as the AD, to know as much as possible as you can about that individual before you hire him, especially given the contracts that they're giving these guys. Now, a lot of people knew Scott Woodward hired Jimbo Fisher. He didn't give Jimbo that ridiculous extension, but he hired him in the first place, gave him a rather large contract at Texas A&M, and he hired Brian Kelly and gave him a rough contract. And both of those guys live up to the standards they were expected to meet, and they both got fired, and they both are collecting, well, one of them's huge buyout at some point. So yeah, somebody's got to be responsible for this. And ADs alone do not sign off on these contracts. They don't make these decisions unilaterally. Some presidents are more involved than others, but you have board of supervisors at LSU, board of trustees elsewhere, whatever they call these guys that oversee universities. So there are a number of people who need to be held accountable for these ridiculous contracts that they keep throwing out there. And it doesn't appear that it's stopping anytime soon, although I did see some congressman is suggesting giving a limited antitrust exemption to college sports and capping coaching salaries. I don't think that's going to fly very far.
Yeah. That.
Well, through all y'all's talk, there's only one answer. It was a bad fit. It was a bad fit because the athletic director made a mistake. There are times that the athletic director will make the choice on his own and then tell the athletic committee what he wants to do, and the athletic committee goes around along with it. Sometimes it goes the other way. The athletic committee has to be talked to first before he makes a decision. But it was a bad fit. For you two young guys, I was there on some of the games when Alabama beat LSU and the stands were emptied way before the game was over. The money was not involved like this. The media stuff wasn't involved, but the LSU people walked out because Coach Bryant used to kick their butt every time he went down there, just about. And they all walked out at that period of time, just like they did the other night. So it's sort of been their way because they think they're a football factory.
Well, it's funny you say that. I've always said that this alleged home field advantage that LSU has is way overplayed. I guess it's because I've been to far too many Alabama LSU games in Baton Rouge where Alabama has won, either close games or in blowouts. So it's never bothered Alabama very much to play in Baton Rouge. So I've always thought that reputation was more manufactured than actuality.
Yeah.
Charlie McClendon was a coach down there then. I think it was McClendon who was a friend of Coach Bryant's. But yeah, anyway, that's the way it goes. It's going to be interesting to see if we're going to continue to see you know, when you hire, you fire very quickly, because anytime you fire, you got to hire, which I've said 50 times. And it's not, there's not that many quality coaches that you can get who have a great record. You're going to gamble to some extent when you take somebody. We'll wait and see if they take an assistant coach off a pro team, what they're going to do. But it's not dealing you. As Barry's mentioned, you know, you get very, very mad and you want to get them out of there. But then when they start calling you for money in order to pay the guys off, you don't get quite as mad. You get over it a little bit.
And you hit on the biggest issue with coaching searches is there are very few guys that are slam dunks that can win anywhere. For most guys, it's got to be the right place at the right time. You've got to have some breaks. You've got to get the right staff together. And it's very different than it's ever been because of NIL and play. Now, so everybody's thinking, well, this guy, you got to go get this guy because this guy is the answer. There are very few guys that are automatic answers.
Well, with a 34-14 record, and if you had a 34-14 record, which you had, with a personality like Lane Kiffin, you wouldn't have gotten fired. But he didn't have that kind of personality. As I said earlier, it's a bad fit. Personality-wise, personality killed him just as bad as that game did. But he's 34-14 with a bad personality, and the personality has as much to do with it as a loss.
And you guys understand this. I don't think the average fan, these guys are making a ton of money, but they still, I don't care how much money they're making, winning and losing isn't very important to them. They hate losing. They hate getting fired, even getting these buyouts. That getting fired, that sucks. You've got plenty of money. You made plenty of money at Notre Dame. Not being successful, the stress of all that. Everybody acts like, oh, yeah, I'd go home and not coach and not worry about it. Yeah, you would. Nobody wants to be a failure. And that's what these guys feel like. And I think most people think that these guys, oh, they just go home and they're completely fine. They don't even know what to do daily now because that's all they've ever done. So I think it's harder for people than the average fan realizes. Do you agree to that, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we forget that they're human beings because of the amount of money they make. But they're competitors. If they weren't highly driven and motivated competitors, they wouldn't have gotten the jobs they've gotten in the first place. They wouldn't have won the games they've won in the first place. Brian Kelly's won over 300 games as a college head coach across every practically every level there is. So, this is a blow to your ego.
Yeah.
And the money makes it, it softens the blow somewhat, but it's still not something that any coach wants to face. And yet most coaches face it. Very few, I would venture to say, it'd be interesting to see what the percentage is of coaches, if someone would run the numbers of head college football coaches and just say the SEC who end up getting fired. How many walk away by choice, whether to retire or to take another job? I would venture to say that it's less than half. That the majority is asked to leave when they leave a job. And no, it's not easy, because also we always forget, as fans, as analysts, as media members, they have families too. You know, they might have a fifth grader in school who's hearing his buddies talk about how bad his dad is at his job.
Yeah.
Or now you're giving bullies an opportunity to say, hey, your dad got fired, blah, blah, blah. You got wives, you got sons and daughters, you have parents, you have brothers and sisters. It's a family thing. And then there are a lot of, and they'll stay on for at least the rest of the season, most of the coaches and the staffers. But now they got to be worried about where they're going to be next year, because all those guys aren't making $10 million a year.
Yeah,
the Notre Dame job for Brian Kelly was okay, but it wasn't for his wife, because she saw other people. The reason that they started that, from what I can find out down there, is that the money really had a big factor in him moving. That Notre Dame is Notre Dame. They're not going to fuss at you too much. The athletic director's always going to be there. They're going to be Catholic, so forth. But the money jumped out at them, and they felt like it. They deserved more than they've been getting at Notre Dame, and that the athletic director at Notre Dame wasn't willing to pay them what they thought they were worth. And so that had a, from what I can find out, a big factor in it originally. Money really was a big part of it.
Yeah. And that leads me to Lane Kiffin. Well, he said, I think you got, and Brian Kelly was probably happy at Notre Dame. When you're happy, I think Lane Kiffin's happy. Why screw with it, Kevin, for a few more dollars? If you're happy, very rarely are you happy in your job. I think there's a lesson there for some of these coaches.
Well, and wasn't it interesting to hear Lane, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Say that he's never going to make a decision based on money, and that every time he says that, Jimmy Sexton says to him, don't say that.
Yeah.
Because that's his job. And of course, it's a lot easier to say that when you're making the kind of money he's already making. So he does, what's another million or 2 million or 3 million a year? Well, that's still a lot of money on top of what he's already making. But I think that's where maturity comes in, realizing what's important in life. And if you can compete, and these guys are competitors and they want to win as many games as possible. They want to win championships. He could do at Ole Miss what, say, Dabo did at Clemson. He can be the guy. I know Johnny Vaught's name's on the stadium and he won National Super 2 back way back in the day. But Lane Kiffin can walk away from there as a legend when it's time to retire. If he chooses, if he continues to have the kind of success he's having and he takes it to that next level, he's close to the top. He's not gotten there yet. He's first got to get, if he could get Ole Miss to the SEC championship game for the first time where it's never been, if he could get them to the playoff where they've never been, and then if he could actually win a national championship at some point, again, he'd have his name on the field today. So that's what it all comes down to. When people say, well, go hire this guy, go hire that guy, or this guy's, what's important to that guy? That's what and this is something that is really a big part of the athletic director's job or whatever search firm he hires. I'm not a big fan of search firms, but they do have their place, I guess, in some instances. But what is important to that coach? What's most important to that coach? You got to figure that out before you start going after this. Let me just say this, and I'm not trying to get, this is a news show or news whatever, where we talk about news. Did the Auburn staff, and I ask this because you're close down there, did the Auburn staff get themselves out from under being fired or let go by that one win? Or is that still, you got some writers who are terrible. We got one, Alabama's awful. Have they overcome the firing with the win of Arkansas?
I think they've forestalled it for the time being. I don't think that win alone is going to bring you Freeze back next year. What if they lose to Kentucky? What if they lose to Vanderbilt? What if they lose to Alabama? They're still. I think what they did was probably get him. We talked about LSU. These things can change in an instant. So that's what people have to realize when someone talks about a coaching situation. These things are very fluid and change very quickly. You have not heard John Cohen give Hugh Freeze a vote of confidence. Despite Hugh Freeze saying last week it would be nice to get one, John Cohen has yet to do that. And I would encourage people to read the comments from John Cohen after the game Saturday in Fayetteville. Brandon Marcello, a very good reporter, he used to be a colleague of mine at AL.com. Now he's with CBS Sports. And John Cohen, in those very few sentences, seemed to say a lot. He said, and the things that jumped out to me were that they keep progressing. We've got to keep getting better. He said that about three times in three different ways. And he also said, every game we've played has been winnable. Every single game. I thought that was very interesting, the way he said that, because if every game is winnable and you've put your team in position to win, but you don't win and you can't get over that hump, then that raises questions about your ability to do that in the future. So I think Hugh Freeze is safe by any stretch of the imagination, but he may finish out, but I think it's more likely now that he finishes out the season at least.
Well, the official calls in the two games has a bearing on that. When he says they're winnable, he doesn't talk about what he does not allowed to talk about. But the question in his mind and his and the question in the guys who have money down there is that they got screwed and tattooed. So,
That's part of, you're right, Wim. That's part of it. I know that's part of it. And that, again, if depending on how the rest of the season plays out, that could be a big factor in saving Hugh Freeze and bringing him back next year.
Yeah.
All right. Lastly, Kevin, this Alabama team, they got some flaws. They cannot run the ball at all. They don't stop the run that well. What they do is they make timely plays. When they got to have a play, they make it. You can tell Ryan Grubb had that two-point conversion. They were ready. As soon as they scored, they knew exactly what they were going to do. They've gotten timely turnovers. So where and that's kind of maybe, you know, covering up these weaknesses. These weaknesses eventually will bite you, but they right now, they believe and they make, this team does make timely plays. You can say that, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, to some degree, and they don't play the same style whatsoever, but in some ways, in that respect, they remind me of some Gene Stallings teams that, you know, they don't dominate you for 60 minutes. They don't win by four touchdowns every week. But when it comes time, when crunch time comes, they make the plays. You know, Deontay Lawson reaching in there and raking that ball away from Lenora Sellers. You know, that's the game-winning play because it gets them the ball back to score that winning touchdown. That drive that they put together after three straight three and outs, they were going nowhere. They were in quicksand. And the, you know, the students are lining up. They're massing to storm the field, and you're running uphill. And all of a sudden, they put together a 14-play, 79-yard drive for over 7 minutes. And as you said, they are totally prepared for the two-pointer. They ran it. First of all, it's a beautifully designed play, and they executed it perfectly, or as close to perfectly as you can. And all of a sudden, they're tied. And then all the momentum is with them, and then they make the defensive play. And so, now there's something to be said for a team that finds a way when it doesn't look like there's any way. And when they're not at their best, and they were far from at their best on Saturday, but they still found a way to win a game. And people did this, but you play five straight SEC games without a break, and four of those against ranked teams, and three of them on the road. That's a gauntlet, and that's a grind, and that wears on you. And you could see that they were at the end of that stretch on Saturday. But again, at the end of it, they found a way. And so, boy, a team that seldom needed a week off more than this Alabama team after that stretch.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Kevin, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, best thing to do, follow me on Twitter/X at Kevin Skarbinski. You can keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can subscribe to that. It's an online publication now, not printed anymore, sadly. But you can read those. You can also find those on AL.com. And you can go to YouTube and go to my channel, Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo-Knows. Keep up with my two podcasts a week, and I hope people will check it out.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Looking for lunch plans, let me give you the spot. Thomas Rib Shack, located 2931 15th Street. Swing by there. They got all the sides that you want, the hot sides, the macaroni and cheese, the fried okra, the green beans, whatever you want with the barbecue ribs, barbecue pork, catfish, They got chicken, baked chicken over there. They've got pork chops, whatever. Go to ThomasRibShack.com if you want to place that order. You can swing by there and pick it up. If you're looking for some catering over the weekend or even during the week, you can make that order right there at ThomasRibShack.com. Swing by there today. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. We also want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
Cause he's so hard to see. Come together right now. Over me.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, inside your prime time, we are now heavier on 43 southbound onto McFarland. And then we're also looking at some delays starting to get a little more volume, not too much so. 69 on the northbound lanes, mainly at Skyland Boulevard. You can expect to slow down back to Colusa.
Contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Game 3 was a classic. The World Series contest at Dodger Stadium went to L.A. over Toronto Monday night in 18 innings, 6-5. Freddie Freeman hit the game-winning homer. The contest lasted over 6.5 hours. Shohei Ohtani with a ground rule double, a solo homer, an RBI double, and then in the 7th, the solo homer to tie it. After those 4 at-bats with 4 extra base hits, Toronto walked Ohtani 5 straight times the rest of the night, usually intentionally. Game 4 of the series is Tuesday night in L.A., Game 5 Wednesday. Dodgers up 2-1. A Monday night football win at Kansas City for the Chiefs over Washington 28-7. Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdown passes in the second half. In the NBA,
assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wimp Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first, with analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
To the second hour of Inside the Locker Room, thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Still, you can buy 3 tires, get that 4th tire for $1. That goes all the way up till Friday. So check the tires out, Chase. If you need some tires, now's a good time to do that. Buy 3, get that 4th tire for $1. That's any tire. So you go and you pick it out. Also, you go to the website. You can look at the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule of service. Rent a Toyota. Try it before you buy it. Swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard if you want to see Justin. Tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline.
Barry,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was going to bring.
I want to ask Barry, and I want to ask our listeners as well to call in and tell me or tell Barry what you think the score would be of the Texas A&M Ole Miss game. And Texas A&M would wipe Ole Miss the way they wiped LSU, in my opinion. They don't play. I've checked the schedule. They don't play. We're bragging about somebody in Lane Kiffin who doesn't even play A&M. And A&M is by far, whether you want to like them or dislike them, by far played the best football of anybody in the league. I think it'd be a 2 or 3 touchdown win. Maybe I'm that quarterback at Ole Miss, Barry, is very good.
Yeah.
He's darn good. And they think about this, folks. Ole Miss finds him and gets him, and Auburn finds the one they get and get him. And the Ole Miss guy, they recruited a guy who, at a lower division who was really good, and he's made something. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, he has been. They got him Division II, and he's been absolutely terrific. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. The Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Coach and Barry?
Good,
well, how about A&M? Would they beat Ole Miss, Cowboy?
Coach, I believe they would, but I hate to say that, but I honestly believe you're right there.
Nick Saban doesn't like hypotheticals. That's a hypothetical.
Well, we're living in the talk show world, so we can hypothetical.
Yeah, we can make up. We just say, hey, Brian Kelly have moral issues. He's going to drop his buyout $30 million, take 20. Whatever.
Yeah, do you know, I just brought me up. Coach was talking about the quarterback at Ole Miss. He came from Ferris State, and Ferris State won a Division II championship, and they had it in a suburb north of Dallas. It's a really growing area called McKinney, and they played in this big 25,000-30,000 seat high school stadium. But Ferris State, they had to suspend some players for a game or two after that game they won in 2023, I believe, or it was 22. But they smoked cigars after the win in a high school facility, and that is against the rules and all the high school stuff. And Ferris State said, hey, blah, 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 but they went through the NCAA and they did something wrong. It just brought it back up to me. And
Ole
they
Miss
had to suspend
is,
some
will take him.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but I meant it was just weird how, because it was a high school stadium, I thought it was absurd, but, you know, they had it all posted. You couldn't do it in a high school stadium and blah, 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 blah. It was a violation. So I thought that was strange.
Well, they said last year, if you added all the crowds of all their games, I think it came out to be 70,000 people. Of course, that one game he played at Georgia on the road, obviously there were more than he played in front of all last year if you combine the entire deal. And, you know, you go to – if you're Auburn, you go to Oklahoma, you get a guy you watched who you've seen was no good. They get this guy who wins a national championship. He's a winner. So they do a better job evaluating quarterbacks at Ole Miss than they do at Auburn.
He reminds me a lot of Blake Sims. I mean, before Lane got there in 14, Blake Sims would come in the game and do mop-up duty, and we'd go, oh, my gosh, this guy will never play as a starter. And then Lane got there, and Lord have mercy, he had a great year in 2014. I love that Blake Sims quarterback team in 2014, you know. So he's got something there. But what I really called about was is usually firings of coaches and stuff doesn't kind of perplex me, but I understand why Brian Kelly got fired at LSU, but I think it was a good hire. You know, LSU's, there's a lot of Catholicism in Baton Rouge and Louisiana, and Brian Kelly was a Catholic and all that. So, and you know, I thought the mesh would be there, but it just seems like things started wrong when he got there, and I guess he just couldn't ever overcome it, even though he beat Alabama. But the guy's won at every level he's ever been. Grand Valley State up there, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, Notre Dame. I don't think he's a bad football coach. I guess it just wasn't a fit down there. What do you think, Coach? You were really on to something.
No,
I thought talking to Skarbinski this morning.
No fit. No, he was no fit. Personality is 34-14 with no personality.
But should the athletic director know that on the front end? Like,
sure,
this guy's got a fiery personality. And, you know, if you win, that's fine. And maybe if Coach Saban lost here, people wouldn't have liked him. If you win, they like Cowboy.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Peter Burns was really that SEC Network guy, before Brian Kelly even was hired at at LSU, early in the 2021 season, he mentioned that he thought, you know, he's from Baton Rouge, he thought that Brian Kelly would be the perfect answer for LSU, you know, and he's from that area, and I'm somewhat perplexed by it, but, you know, the coaching staff's never meshed, and, you know, Mike Dimbrock, that started coaching with Brian Kelly at Grand Valley State, then he went to Central Michigan with him, and then he was at Cincinnati, then Notre Dame. He left him at Notre Dame, went to Cincinnati with Fickell, but when Kelly got the job at LSU, Dimbrock came with him as offensive coordinator, and the offense did well the first 2 years, but they couldn't get the defense to do well. They just could never get both sides of the ball to play complementary football and mesh. It just was some disconnect there.
Cowboy, what would happen to you, to Barry, if he got your calls after these three slim wins that Alabama's had, Georgia the other day, slim wins, but they wins. If they had lost those three slim games, what kind of phone call would you have given Barry?
I wouldn't have called, probably.
Oh, but Lordy, Belushi, you say I told you so.
No, there's no need in crowing about it or criticizing. I just believe what I believe. I guess I'd, go down with the ship.
They were three good wins, but they were hard. They were hard.
Oh, yeah.
They were pretty fortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Skarbinski brought up a good point this morning when he said these wins are a lot of like the Gene Stallings team's wins. I wish he was expounding on what season he thought that was, 92 or 94 team. You know, the 94 Gene Stallings team only beat Tulane 2013. Everybody in the stands is all upset. And, you know, Coach Stallings was shutting down Homer Smith, wouldn't let him do, but Coach Stallings did what he thought the team needed to do to win the football game. You know, it's like he said, when you start listening to the fans, you'll be sitting in the stands with them.
So, yeah, Cowboy, you brought up Peter Burns. Peter Burns had one of the worst tweets of all tweets when he said LSU should hire Nick Saban to hire their coach. You pay him whatever you want, whatever he wants to hire the coach. Nick Saban is an employee of the University of Alabama. He's making half a million. He's got an office in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Why would he go and run the search for LSU when he works for Alabama? That's just stupid for a guy that knows better to tweet something like that out.
Yeah, that's bad. But, you know, like your dad said about LSU, I've been to Baton Rouge down there to football games, Alabama. Boy, they're running their mouth big time before the game. And then in the third and fourth quarter, those stands are emptying when, like your dad said, you start kicking their butt.
Yeah,
It's like a carnival atmosphere down there. It's bizarre, you know, and I don't know if they're really as great as some of the LSU and the media people talk that they are when you start breaking down. LSU's a destination job. The last three coaches won national championships. I get that, but you got to have the right cultural fit down there or it's just not going to go.
Yeah. I don't know who that's going to be. So, all right, we're going to get to Ron.
How was the game against Furman the other night, the basketball game?
He started slow, and then Furman made some shots early, and then I don't know if it was Alabama's defense or Furman. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn after the first few minutes. Alabama comfortably took the lead, and they won by 20-something, I think, on the road there. And Furman had just redone their arena, new arena, so the athletic director is very appreciative of Nate Oates bringing Alabama there to play in that renovated arena. That's all they talked about the entire broadcast, that renovated arena.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome by Coach Oates. How's that kid from Tarleton State out here doing?
What's his name?
Transfer.
Man, I don't know these new guys that well. I'm not sure. I'd be guessing. So thank you, Cowboy.
That's always. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. We're going to get to Ron Higgins. We'll get the in-depth what went on with the Brian Kelly situation. Where does LSU go from here? You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're looking at pretty basic slow-goes around the area, but they're definitely slow. If you're traveling in Northport on 69 southbound onto Union Chapel Road, watch out for major delays back past Charlie Shirley Road. And then we've also got heavy stack-ups on 43 with some
video and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. For more information, visit championslane.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On this week's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama men's basketball head coach Nate Oates.
The defense is coming. I think our perimeters are defending better. We've got length in the perimeter. We've got some new guys with some length. And we've got to get our interior guys protect the rim a little bit better. But, you know, they're working. I thought we've had a couple good days in a row of practice. So Taylor's starting to pick it up. You know, Aiden, I thought, had a couple good days of practice. So we just need those guys to really, you know, be cognizant of the fact they got to protect the rim. So they're not, you know, we don't have, like, elite level athletes like maybe we did with Grant and Cliff. But I think we've got guys with size that, when they're focused and where they're supposed to be, can definitely protect the rim. And, you know, Aiden's a big, strong kid that's got burst of athleticism.
I'll have more in a moment. Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide! If you missed last night's edition of Crimson Tide Rewind, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider podcast, as well as a video replay on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, we get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's with the Shreveport Bossier Journal. We had him on last week, and none of us thought anything would happen, but it was amazing what can happen in 1 week. Brian Kelly now no longer the coach at LSU, but we'll bring in Ron Higgins. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Ron.
That's
good. You know, the circus is always ongoing in Baton Rouge because the clowns are in guards. So just remember that.
We know good and well that no use going through all this stuff. It was a bad fit. If you'll give our listeners the blow by blow of what happened as well as what might happen in the future.
Well,
what happened? What might happen?
Yeah, it's just first of all, you have to understand. Louisiana politics always gets involved, and the governor of the state, and then look, this is historical. This goes back to days of Huey Long, you know, trying to run the LSU football program, And through the years, John McKithen in the 70s would have recruits come to the mansion, and it kind of has gone on and off throughout history. Well,
yeah.
Saturday night, LSU game Saturday night, A&M, it's not going well. LSU's pulled up in the second half. Well, it happens to be the Board of Supervisors night for LSU. The Board of Supervisors are the ones who govern the University of LSU mostly. And they're appointed by the governor, okay? During the game was going bad, the governor starts going around to the Board of Supervisors' box and starts getting opinions. Should we get rid of him? But this is like during the game. Should we just cut ties with him? How can we get the money to get rid of him? And this kind of escalated from there. The next day, they had a meeting at the governor's mansion of some boosters, Board of Supervisor members, not the LSU AD. He wasn't involved, which kind of tells you how LSU runs sometimes. And they decided to make the decision to get rid of him. And so they announced Wednesday, Sunday night at 8 o'clock they were getting rid of him. And
the AD was not there at the meeting?
And the AD was not there at the meeting, yeah, to get rid of him.
Go ahead.
The decision of the governor. The AD has been unfairly portrayed in this thing. It's like, this guy gave him a big contract. It was also said he's a guy who gave Jimbo Fisher his big contract at A&M, which wasn't true. But when you're hiring a college head football coach, it's an inexact science, and a lot of times it's hard to hire a really good guy to come to your school who's been a good guy at another school. And when you try to make a big splash, you got to put some money out there. He put some money out there, and he thought it was a good investment. It seemed like at the time, even though the guy may not have been a cultural fit. Well, neither was Nick Saban when he came to LSU. He wasn't a cultural fit. I'm not a big believer in cultural fits. I believe that you culturally fit if you win.
Yeah.
Everybody loves you. They don't care where you're from. Well, you know, and like I said before, Brian had to kind of dig out of a hole created by Orgeron. It took him a little time. But people at LSU act like they should, fans act like they should be the challenge for a championship every year. And I know Alabama fans feel that way, but Alabama fans have a right to feel that way because they usually do that. But the LSU, not so much. So anyway, they decide to buy him out and talk about they're still negotiating his terms. Well, as it turned out yesterday, LSU, which doesn't have a school president right now, they got to hire somebody. The guy who's the acting president said that we found one guy to and he's going to pay the entire buyout of $52 million. And there's only two LSU people, alums with that kind of money. One is Shaq,
really?
But the other one is a guy named Todd Graves, who he's the owner and founder of the Cane's Chicken Fingers chains that you see everywhere. And everybody's, and he's like worth like $85 billion. I mean, he's worth a lot of money. I mean, $150 billion? $75 billion. Anyway, it's a lot of billions.
Billion?
Okay, so you got one guy that's going to buy it out.
So what are they talking about with this moral clause? They found some moral clause. They're going to drop it $30 million. Is that just TMZ stuff, or is that true, Ron?
I think they're trying to find something.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is this, like, And I had a radio host point this out the other day in town. If you start doing that when you're trying to get rid of somebody, how are you going to get somebody else to come in here as a head coach knowing that you sign a contract, and then if they want to get rid of you, all of a sudden they're going to negotiate down to try to get rid of you at a cheaper price and try to find something on you so they can get – that's not good negotiating in good faith. And if that happens, I don't know how LSU can go out and get somebody who's really good with that guy trusting LSU that if something happens, they're going to pay me off. But I believe Todd Grace paid the whole thing off. But that's the general impression that he's the person who had enough money to pay it off, one guy. So anyway, this is where they are. Frank Wilson, a longtime running backs coach, is just associate head coach. He's going to be the interim coach for the rest of the year. They fired Joe Sloan, the offensive coordinator yesterday morning. They have somebody in their staff just taking over for the play calling. So they're going to try to get
who fired Joe?
I just said the school did. It didn't say. I don't think Frank Wilson did. I think the school did. Maybe the school told Frank Wilson, "Well, we'll take care of this. We'll fire him. You don't have to fire him." And so that's where they are. They have a Frank Wilson press conference this afternoon. I've known Frank for a long time. He's a good guy. He's the type of guy you want as an interim coach. He's been a head coach, not a successful one, but he knows how to organize and handle people. And he's well liked around here. Been around here for a while at different times. He was just like the obvious choice. But yeah, this was a shock. Nobody was thought it would flip this quick. I mean, none of us here in the media thought it would flip this quick. We've seen LSU not flip this quick. I mean, there was the end of one season where we thought if Les Miles would get fired after the A&M game, then end of the season. And Les Miles thought he was getting fired. He ran off the field at the end of the game, waving to the crowd like this was his last time. And then about 20 minutes later in a press conference, the LSU's AT Joe Leib at that point said, "No, we're going to keep Les." Everybody's like, "What?" Again, it's a political football here, and when the governor gets involved, and I don't know if it's just a really good thing here, but that's just the way it is in this state, unfortunately. But again, it's historical. It's been that way forever. Like I said, you had Huey Long.
Can they be anywhere close to playing Alabama after that week off? Can they be anywhere close to getting a staff to put together and practice to beat Alabama?
No. I mean, if they stay within three touchdowns of Alabama, it'd be nice. I mean, the whole thing right now is like, can we beat either Arkansas or Western Kentucky to get to a bowl, which I don't know what that would mean at this point, but just to, and then there's also this point, even if you go to a bowl, who's going to really want to play in it on this team? You know how the atmosphere's being created every year now. If you're an NFL prospect, you want to, like, if you don't have to play in a bowl game, you're not going to play in a bowl game. So it's kind of a, a turn of a hurry.
I would jump around. Would they go after Lane Kiffin?
Absolutely, yeah. But here's the thing. When we talk about paying off Kelly and then paying off a staff, that's at least $100 million right there, probably. And then you have to go after a coach. Look, Kiffin is probably will not go for anything less than like $13 million a year. And that's just come out of your mouth, it's just hard to even say. But you know, there's like a list of four or five guys, but some of them aren't realistic. I mean, anybody who thinks, you know, Dan Lanning from Oregon is going to leave there is crazy, because, of course, Oregon's funded by Nike. They have so much Nike money, they're never going to let that guy leave. They lost Baron Cristobal a couple of years ago, so they're not going to let Dan Lanning leave. They're going to give him whatever he wants. They're going to pay him whatever he wants. If I didn't get Kiffin, I kind of like the Missouri coach, Eli Drinkwitz. I think he's a pretty good coach. They're coming. Tulane's coach is kind of a dark horse in this thing, but the prize is Lane Kiffin, between LSU and Florida, and then we'll see what happens. Lane likes living in Florida. He's lived there before. That'll be interesting to get in that bidding war. But again, this all happened so fast, unexpected. But again, once you understand that the politics of Louisiana got involved, it was all over. Because this, I said before, it goes back to the 1930s and 40s. Huey Long was governor of Louisiana, and he would go into his dressing room at halftime or after a game and berate the coach for not doing something. So that gives you an idea that this is not new. It's just a repeated offense, so to speak. Was Brian Kelly a bad guy. I don't think he was a bad guy. Was he kind of grump and direct? Yeah. All the dealings we had with him, he was professional, a straightforward guy. A lot like Nick, honestly, a lot like Nick. And the people were so provincial around here that, you know, they were like, well, you know, he's not from around here. He's not one of us. He's not, you know, he doesn't do this, doesn't do that. It's kind of like the whole thing with Kalen DeBoer, you know. What's he wearing on the sideline? Is he? What's he wearing that for? He's losing fans, but he's wearing that. Who gives a crap? You know, I mean, they hated Kalen DeBoer at season over. Now the guy's become a producing coach all of a sudden. It's like you have to have an administration that's strong enough to stand up to all the garbage from fans, from social media, and from anybody who thinks they have an opinion to kind of ride stuff out a little bit and let things develop. Obviously, they felt 3.5 years was enough with Kelly. I thought they should have brought him back for one more season, considering what he had to dig out of when Orgeron left him with 38 scholarship players, a bad roster. And then NIL came in, and Kelly had to get used to the NIL stuff. So I'm not going to feel – and, you know, and Brian Kelly understands the business of college sports. He understands it. He understands that you're based on your wins and losses. And if you don't win enough, they're gonna fire you. Well, they fired him, and now they're gonna have to pay him off.
We're talking with Ron Higgins. I chat GPT Todd Graves, not saying you're wrong, but his guy's worth, according to chat GPT, which is always right, right, Ron? Says the guy's worth $22 billion. Now, Jimmy Rain's worth $1 billion, and we go crazy over him. $22 billion. That guy probably, and they said, this guy just texted me, and I don't need to tell me if this is true. He's a Georgia grad, but loves LSU and hated Brian Kelly. So he just probably calls the guys, I'll write the check. Just get this guy out of here. I'll write the check. Is that what happened?
He's not a Georgia guy. He's from Baton Rouge. He went to LSU.
Okay, this guy's wrong.
He went to LSU and he had the idea of this chicken finger franchise, which is it's blowing up worldwide. It's really, honestly, it really is really good chicken fingers.
They're about to build one here in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's really, really good, okay? I mean, it's like chicken crack. Honestly, it's really good. But the whole thing is, he's been involved a lot in NIL deals. NIL deals with LSU, the football, basketball, all the athletic programs. So Todd's involved in the athletic program in that sense. So he didn't hate Brian Kelly. I mean, I think there's any hate there. I think the school came to him and said, listen, the only person we got with enough money to buy him out and it's like a tip money to you. Can you do it? I guess Todd did it. He's the only guy that any of us can think of because that kind of money, who's an LSU grad, yeah, besides Shaq, and Shaq doesn't come close to Todd Graves' bottom line. But man,
$22 billion. Think about that. How much that is?
That's a lot of chicken finger, Paul.
Yeah,
I tell you, that's some good information right there. This is a heck of a
$22 billion. He just said, "Yeah, just go down there to my bank down there and just tell him to withdraw that $54 million out and give it to him and move on." Who you want to hire? Who could they hire if they don't get Lane Kiffin? Everybody wants Lane Kiffin, but let's be honest, I don't know that he's going to leave Ole Miss.
I don't either.
Let's say Lane. Give me three candidates that would be good fits for LSU, Ron.
I think Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri. I think he'd be a good candidate. I think John Summerall of Tulane would be a good candidate. And the third one, I have at this point, I don't know. There's so many names to throw out, you just kind of shake your head.
I mean, is Joe Brady, is he really a candidate?
He was a brilliant play caller for 1 year at LSU. But, you know, then he went to Carolina in the NFL as an offensive coordinator, and he failed there. I just have a hard time believing if you haven't been at this level, if you haven't been a head coach before with some experience, you just can't step in and be a head coach. There's so many things involved in the peripheral of being a head coach. It's almost like coaching on the field is like the last thing you get around to, because of all the peripheral you got to deal with. So you have to understand how to go through that. So I think they need a Bible head coaching candidate. And I think I think Drinkwitz would be good. I think John Sumrall will be a guy. I think Willie Fritz of Houston, who was at Tulane, he went to Houston, is a really good coach. And I mean, again, it's hard to hire a top shelf guy. That's what my fans are angry about. Like they overpaid Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was going to get that kind of money. I mean, from LSU or anywhere else if they want him when he left at that time. He's still the most winningest active coach in college football right now, even after this year. And so that's why I understand all these people are upset with LSU AD saying, well, they overpaid the guy. No, you paid what he demanded, what you can give him. That's what people demand now. I mean, coaches can get what they want, honestly.
Yeah.
But at this point, if you don't get Lane Kiffin, and I don't think they will. I agree with you. I don't think they will. I have a hard time Lane will leave Ole Miss. Now, I know there's some inherent things the LSU has that Ole Miss doesn't have. They have a much better in-state recruiting for football, like high school football. That would kind of ease the tension of having to get so many transfer portal guys. But honestly, Ole Miss was ahead of the game over LSU and a lot of other schools in the SEC with their NIL. They were better organized at the beginning, and which enabled Kiffin to go out and get people. But I can understand the attraction of Lane Kiffin. He's kind of matured. He's kind of like the Steve Spurrier of the new millennium, so to speak. Got kind of like that sly sense of humor that'll kind of dig at you. And he's a really good play caller, and he knows how to develop offensive players and put up points. But again, at this point, I think he really likes living in Oxford, Mississippi, and I think he kind of settled him down as a human being and made him a better person overall than what he was. And I think he kind of take that into account. A lot of people want to go where the bigger money is, but he claims that it's not about money, and probably at this point, it's not about money for him.
Yeah.
And at some point, in your life, when you do have enough money, you realize that money is not going to buy you everything. Even though I read something somewhere that Kiffin's agent, Jimmy Sexton, who I knew from my time in Memphis as an agent, he kept saying, yeah, it is. Lane, it is everything. It is. Because Jimmy wants his cut.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's been a crazy football season and people have gotten fired. I'm sure there's more left to get fired. I just hate to see, college athletics and football particularly go this way. But athletics, it's like somebody told me the other day, because it's like become like the NFL, not just in sense of players being paid, but coaches being fired like 3 years into their contract because all of a sudden they don't win enough to justify their supposed salary. And the difference between that and colleges, though, in the pros, y'all also have rich owners who can pay off the contract. In college, you got to go find the money to pay off the coaches, and that ain't easy. But that's the world we live in now, where the coach didn't do anything in 2-3 years. Let's get rid of him. It's not fun to watch.
Was there any way for Brian Kelly on Sunday when he got in there? The rumor is, or I don't know if it's reported, that Scott Wood wanted to fire a certain coach. He wanted to fire somebody else, and they ended up in a heated argument. And that's what did him in. Or was the gov and them already going to do it before that even happened?
Yeah, but the thing is Scott Wood didn't want to fire anybody. I mean, it was Kelly who suggested they fire Joe Sloan, or suggested to fire the offensive line coach, and Woodward didn't want that. I mean, he thought they were using him as a scapegoat. So that's kind of, the story's kind of flipped the other way. Woodward, but at that point, the governor was rounding the posse up. Let's get the posse boys. Let's round the posse up and get rid of the scouts. So that was right moving along at that point.
Yeah. Dad, anything else for Ron?
Now, how good is A&M good enough to beat Ole Miss? They're really good.
Yeah, they've got everything you need to win a national championship. They play really physical. They've got great athletes on both sides of the ball who just knock the hell out of you. They've got a really good quarterback who's really athletic, who can make plays when things break down. They're really good, and they're well coached. Elko's a really good coach. And honestly, to me, they're the best team. Probably the team with the best chance of a national championship right now in this league is probably A&M. I'd say that, yeah.
Yeah.
You look, no matter what happens to LSU, you just don't come to LSU in the Tiger Stadium and beat the lid head out. I mean, you don't put 35 straight up in the second half on LSU in Tiger Stadium. And they made it look easy. They made it look easy.
All right, so you're thinking LSU. Sometimes you change coaches, though, Ron. Look at UAB. They change coach and beat Memphis. The players relax. The coaches relax. They go out and play loose. You're not giving You're not giving LSU any chance coming in here next week?
I agree. I mean, there's always a chance. I just don't see it. I just think
I'm not going to blue plate it.
Yeah, I don't think Alabama's going to slip against LSU. It's kind of like it's a traditional opponent. And like in Alabama, look, they had their scare at South Carolina. I mean, that was a road game, I believe. But that was on the road.
Yeah, it was on the road. Yeah,
they had their scare at South Carolina. But I think they're going to be, I think they'll be well prepared in Tuscaloosa. And I think LSU will play looser. It all depends. I mean, to me, it all depends what is going to be the offensive play calling. Who they're going to turn that over to? Will they kind of loosen it up some? Be less predictable? But then again, it doesn't matter if you're less predictable. But if your offensive tackles are a starting true freshman and a redshirt freshman, who can't block anybody? Can't pass protect. So they got a bunch of problems. They really do.
Yeah. Well, Ron, we appreciate it. Great information.
Thank you,
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Take
all
care.
Right.
We'll see you.
All right, there.
I think that kind of account, how much money that guy got there?
$22 billion. Now, billion. So if you give him $54 million, that ain't nothing for that guy to write that check. So they got to hire him to recruit. I mean, he could be a good recruiter. All right, let's tell him about Bryant Bank, and we'll get back and have the vinegar tip for the day.
Well, if you think you've got money in good shape, you will love Bryant Bank. Bryant Bank will take care of you. They'll look after you. They'll be interested in your kids. They'll open up a business and you open up a business and personal account. They will be darn sure that your money is safe. You will be able to bank online around the clock. They will have the people that will know you the second time in there if they don't know you the first time. They're a family bank. And if you go in there with your money, you want your family to be taken care of and you won't take care of your money. So if you want to go to a nice family bank, a bank that's going to take care of you, go by Bryant Bank and tell you heard Barry and I talk about it inside the locker room.
All right, you listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Chase.
Stay asleep.
Break.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, we've gone most of the morning pretty smooth sailing, if I do say so myself. Taking a look at Veterans Parkway, or 15th Street, that is, in between McFarland and Lurline Wallace. You're pretty smooth sailing here. And 2059 just continues with its smooth roll here in between McFarland.
Applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings may vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904. The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie.
The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timmerson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Inside the Locker Room. That's Dinner Tips brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Let Michael become your agent. He's become ours. 205-752-8500 for all of your insurance needs. The website, coverageforttown.com. What is the vinegar tip for this?
All right. Now, you've been carving out pumpkins. I was over at Barry's last night. You got a big mess because Halloween's coming and everything, and it's all going down the sink, and the sink is getting stopped up, and the water's not going down the way, and the kids are throwing stuff in there, candy and stuff in there. They're getting trick-or-treat crap and all that kind of stuff. So what you need to do is get you some baking soda. Get you a big thing of baking soda and pour in there. And after that baking soda is down in there, it's creeped down in there pretty good, then get you two big things apple cider vinegar. And pour that apple cider vinegar on top of that baking soda. Now, all that crap that your wife's thrown in there, your kids thrown in there, there's a mess down there. And then after you do that, and that baking soda and that vinegar have mixed together, then you're going to put some hot, we're going to start pouring some hot water in there. Turn on your hot water faucet on a slow deal. Not dripping, but not fast, but halfway in between. And that will clean out your sink perfectly, and everything will be everybody will be happy. And I'll tell you, somebody else will be happy. If Lane Kiffin finds out that guy's got $22 billion, like Barry said, Lane Kiffin is going to reconsider LSU.
He said it wasn't about money.
$22 billion. The guy's got, and he can write him a check. He ain't gonna worry about no morals or anything like that.
They got a Canes on campus here, and they're about to build one over there across from Fresh Market Canes. Maybe he wants to be a sponsor on the show. $22 billion.
Yeah, almost. If we can get,
Think Jimmy Rain's got a lot of money? He got $1 billion. This guy's got $22 billion. That makes it a little easier if you're Scott Woodward.
How many million in a billion?
Chase, help me there. How many million are in a billion? He's going to chat GPT it or something.
Yeah, please. I'd like to know, please. We can talk about this. But multiply it times 22.
1 million.
Huh? 1 million. 1 million what?
There is 1 million and 1 billion.
1 million, million, and a billion?
Mm-hmm.
So how many is 22 billion?
Mm-hmm.
1 million, million, and a billion.
Correct.
Oh, my.
Oh, 1 million, million, and a billion?
Yeah, he got 22 of them suckers.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Right around. There are 1,000 million and 1 billion. There you go.
1,000 million.
So it's 22 times. How much is that, Barry?
I don't know. 22 billion. Let's think about it. If you got 900 million. You ain't even gotten to 999 million. You ain't even gotten to the first billion. 999 million. This guy only needed 54 to get rid of him. 54? That ain't nothing.
He's got that in the right, he's got his right pocket.
He's got that in the glove compartment. That'd be nice. All right.
And he don't like the head football coach.
If he don't like the head football coach, he gets what he wants. Hey, Tom. Tom gone. Well, I guess Tom's on the other line now. All right. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Coach, how are y'all this morning?
We're trying to comprehend how much $22 billion is.
Well, it's more than you can count on your fingers and your toes. So
put it this way. If you got $22 billion, If you want to write $54 million to Brian Kelly, that ain't gonna hurt you, is it?
No, but I wouldn't waste my money on a football coach.
But he wouldn't consider it wasting. He was sick of what he saw the other night, so he's like, "Get him out of here."
Think about this. I sent you a text. I wanted you to hit our buddy from the Shreveport Journal with this. At 8:34, they were jumping up and down, drinking whiskey, happy as they could be, and had the lead on A&M. And 5 hours later, they were firing the coach.
Yeah. What a business.
I'm telling you, you think they were emotional about firing him?
Well, I'll tell you this, Dom, about, I don't know what time it was, 5:55, you worried about whether Alabama's field goal kicker was going to kick that field goal or not. And then South Carolina just said, "Nah, we're just going to let you score." And you're like, "What? Yeah. Have you been watching our field goal kicker?" Thank you.
You're exactly right. And I sent you a text. I don't know if you read it or not. And I said, "I don't want to see that damn kicker out there." And
and they just let us score. Just let them score.
But have you ever seen anything like LSU? I mean, Jerry was right when he come on there, and it goes on all the time. It is a bunch of freaking clowns down there, and that's the reason they can't win. They've got talent. Yeah, you remember when Coach Curly Holman used to come on the show?
Yeah.
And he would talk about his experiences in Louisiana and how much talent it was down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, they will undermine somebody like him when he was down there. They undermined him forever while he was down there. A friend of mine was on the staff coaching, and he said his roommate, we
officed together at Alabama.
I don't have the same thought process. I'm sure that worked. He is anti-Trump, I can tell you that for sure.
Who's that?
Who is?
Your boy that you're talking about.
Curly Holman?
Yes.
How come?
Well, that's it.
You follow him on Facebook. Just follow him on Facebook. Woo! All right, we got to get out, Tom. Thank you, sir.
I'm there, buddy.
All right, ChatGPT. Whatever. All right, Brian Hard Construction. Oh, my goodness, Chase. Do we got to get a blue plate that wins? Maybe you need to pick it for him. If you need precision power performance, Brian Hard Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. Call them today, 205-759-1337. $22 billion. I didn't know Cane's chicken fingers worth that much. How much is cheap? Yeah, there you go. All right, that's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home.